You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Thinking about a different kind of legacy now, a couple of weeks after Hurricane Storm Sandy made its way across the East. A natural disaster showcases the power of nature, of course, and we all saw that. But it also reminds us of the value of energy, the power lost, the gasoline becomes scarce. The value of reliable energy is hard to overstate. The stability of everything that goes on in our communities depends on reliable energy, and the ability of nature to disrupt energy grids, as was the case during Sandy, suggests that new investments need to be made in better systems and alternative energy sources. What are those investments and alternatives? Jeffrey Leonard is the CEO of the Global Environment Fund, a growth capital-oriented investment firm that's looking at precisely those kinds of investments. Jeffrey Leonard, welcome to the program.
Good day, John. How are you?
Where would you put – I'm doing great. Where would you put money post-Sandy to immediately upgrade what we saw in the wake of that storm?
Well, I think what Sandy taught us, certainly other storms on the East Coast this past summer, such as the derecho that hit the mid-Atlantic coast area as well, has taught us the dependence that we all have on electricity today. We think of energy as something that comes out of the ground and our natural gas and our gasoline for our cars. But most Americans get most of their energy delivered by electricity wires. And so the first step is to pay attention to the electricity infrastructure. And Sandy taught us the vulnerability of that infrastructure, as many people even today in New Jersey still don't even have power, electricity back at their houses.
Is it the grid that's antiquated, or is it the management structure? We saw the Long Island Power Authority chief operating officer finally, Michael Harvey, resigned after being criticized over and over again for a solid week. And LIPA's response has been, criticized, and they've had some of the same kind of problems as they've had in New Jersey.
Well, I think certainly it's the politicians and people's individual volition at time of crisis to look at the management and assign some blame, and probably they deserve some blame in one way or another in terms of their preparedness for it. But recall that as Sandy was churning its way up the East Coast slowly, as we all waited for it to hit, power companies from something like 24 or 30 states were already sending vehicles on their way, streaming towards New York, New Jersey area, because they knew that this was going to be a storm of epic proportions that would take out the electricity grid. So while there are management issues, it's a much bigger and more systemic and challenge. We've not reinvested in our electricity grid in any substantial way for some 30 to 40 years. The average transformer on the grid is 42 years old, which makes it more vulnerable to shock. Obviously enough, as we've seen, anybody who lives in New York and looked over across the Hudson River during the storm could see these flames of explosions going on, transformer after transformer blowing. Two major transformers in the south part of Manhattan took out that whole area from power. Those systems need to be hardened against disasters, whether they be natural disasters, cyber terrorism, terroristic activities. We're realizing now that the infrastructure is old, creaky, and not protected.
Is there a way, is there even an institutional will to do these improvements once and for all, make the investment in putting the lines underground if need be, hardening them from seawater contamination if they're already underground, and then doing the kinds of things you're talking about, making the grid impervious or at least better defended from some sort of cyber attack? We're talking $30 billion, but, that's the cost of the storm, for heaven's sakes.
Right. Well, that's a good point, John. We either pay it now or we pay it later. There is a way, of course, and it's not going to happen overnight. It needs to take place over a long period of time. But for many, many years, it's been difficult for the electricity utility sector to recover the costs of new investment into the infrastructure from the ratepayers. And so that's a challenge which we're all facing. I think the FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, has addressed that in the last couple of years more and more, realizing that there needs to be a rate of return for the utilities as they invest in their regulated areas, electricity transmission and distribution, And so that's gradually happening. But it, of course, it always flies in the face of politicians wanting to say that we the utilities can't raise the rates. They need to keep electricity costs lower. The challenge is, of course, as consumers, we're either going to pay gradually over time for it's like preventive health care, right? We're going to pay gradually over time for preventive maintenance and upgrade, or we're going to pay for catastrophic failure. And I think more and more the American public, certainly those of us on the East Coast having been barraged by these incidents over the last few years, are more and more aware of that.
Well, the question is, will there be any action? And the big irony here is that within the last week, a couple of assessments have suggested that by 2020, the United States will be the biggest energy producer in the world of fossil fuels and natural gas and nuclear and some of the renewables that we have. But with a grid as antiquated, we can't really take advantage of that.
Well, that's the point of my article in the Washington Monthly, is to say that while we have this impression of everybody is that we're just swimming in energy, but if it's in the ground or if it's out of the ground in storage but not getting into the form of being generated, generating electricity and then being transmitted to households, we may be swimming in energy but still left in the dark, ironically. I think that the political – it's time for that political debate. The Energy Department of the United States has regulatory authority over both the natural gas industry and the electricity industry, and there's a great opportunity here to look at those together holistically and look at the whole energy supply of America.
Jeffrey Leonard is the CEO of Global Environment Fund. Thanks so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.